The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
Brian O'Driscoll is still with us. Michael Lyon is here. Bobby Skinstead. Keith Wood all alone. We are here tonight with thanks to Heineken, official worldwide partner of Rugby World Cup Japan 2019. We have some big names, but we're missing something. We're missing Big Mal. Please, give it up for Malcolm O'Kelly! How are you?
Yeah.
I'm good, Nathan. I'm good.
We're going to get into previewing Saturday's game, but I know you were just been held back side of stage when Paul Howard was on talking about Leinster Schools rugby.
I was very upset by the way he was handling us. You know, I always took great umbrage to it because I lived in Knockline, which is kind of close to Tala, you know. It's kind of close to Tala.
You didn't living in Knockline. You didn't play Leinster Schools rugby, or
presumably. I was a holy ghoster. You know, not the Black Rock and the Michaels, more the social and affordable in Templo. it reminds me when I was in the World Cup in 07, you know, it was obviously a very tough time for Ireland, and probably more so because I was on the bench. But we were playing in Bordeaux, and we were playing Namibia. And I was on the dead ball area, and I was running up and down the dead ball area, warming up, keeping warm. And the next thing I started hearing, come on, ye super hoops, come on, ye super hoops. And it was like a whole bunch of Temple Ogres were there. They were chanting me, going running up and down, like doing the press up. Come on, dude, we are the log, and we are the best. And I was going, oh. So, and then, of course, I benched the Georgia match as well. And same thing, come on, ye super. And then we got to the Argentina match, and it was like, after about an hour, it was, all the way back, log, all the way back, log. And they weren't there at the French match. I don't know where they've gone.
Funds have run out.
They've given up on us as well.
So it is New Zealand. We spent the last 3 years wondering, would it be the All Blacks or would it be South Africa? It's going to be the All Blacks on Saturday morning. Just the second time, actually, Ireland have ever played New Zealand at the World Cup. There was one standout moment, I think, from the last time Ireland played New Zealand at the World Cup.
Marvellous attacking opportunity this. Terry Kingston having a word with his forwards. A set move involving the forwards. They're on the charge now. Fulcher up there. But it goes to Halpin. Halpin's over. And Halpin is over for the try. And what a moment for this man Halpin. Who would have believed it? His ninth cap and his very first try for Ireland. And has he ever scored a better or a more important one in his career?
If all else fails, at least we'll always have Gary Halpin giving the All Blacks the finger. Dear God.
That was the first time we'd really seen Jonah Lomu as well. And we had a couple of injuries in the back line. And Paul Burke was sub out half. So I don't know who it was went down injured. And Burkey leans over to me and said, I'm not going on, Woody. you've to go on. I'm not going on. Jonah was just causing absolute carnage with it. But it's 24 years ago. That was a very short World Cup for me. I lasted 7 minutes of that World Cup. But Halpin lives on and actually dines out on that story still.
It seems strange to ask, Brian, considering we beat the All Blacks this time last year. But this current All Blacks side and where Ireland are right now, how do Ireland beat the All Blacks this Saturday?
Listen, a hell of a lot can obviously change in a week or two in rugby. We've seen it so much where, you know, we've been phenomenal and then you get turned over and other sides likewise. Where we have come into this World Cup, obviously, it's not where we would have liked to have been. The warm-ups game didn't go to plan. You know, we had the great performance against Scotland, then the upset against Japan, followed it up by a pretty poor performance against Russia, even though they tried to sugarcoat it a little bit as players and as a team. In reality, it was a poor performance.
Do you think they actually know that?
Of course they know that. Of course they do. You know, we all watched the game. And, you know, if Johnny Sexton was true to form, he'd have if there wasn't a bit of a if there wasn't a little bit of a confidence issue within the team, he would have had a go in that post-match interview saying it's a substandard performance. But the reality was he needed to build a team up, as did Joe Schmidt, because they were at a low ebb. And they've said within camp that spirits are good, and I believe that. They've got a one-off shot at the best team in the world, so spirits should still be positive. But I said it beforehand, and I did mean it. Ireland certainly have not peaked, and they've got a big performance in them, I hope. And I'm the eternal optimist. They need to get almost everything spot on. They need to get their set piece, their line out functioning phenomenally. We had an armchair ride against Samoa last week, and all the stats will significantly have improved. But I think prior to the game, Samoa had contested 1 in 43 lineouts, so they don't put pods up. So you can throw it anywhere. I thought one or two of Rory Best throws looked a bit shaky, even though they weren't contested. So we're going to have a much tougher day at the office there. But I think defence is everything, and discipline is everything. If you don't give away penalties, and I think that's where Nigel Owen comes into play, he doesn't like giving penalties. He likes a little bit of a free-for-all. So expect teams, particularly at the ruck, to hold on to it an awful lot longer. He wants those games of 45-40 where he doesn't have to blow the whistle very often. He wants to be involved in them, and they're great spectacles. So I think it's a good referee for us to get for this fixture, but we have to get absolutely everything right if we're to live with them. Woody said it, if they don't get it right, we could be beaten by 20 or 25. But I fancy that we have a huge performance, and it's potentially Joe Schmidt's last last job in charge, or last game in charge as Irish coach. And against the All Blacks, I just think the stars are beginning to align a small bit, and I feel as though it'll be super tight, and we have a chance.
Mal, as Brian said, this could well be Joe Schmidt's last game in charge, and I heard Eddie O'Sullivan saying during the week that maybe this is the big reveal. Maybe actually the last year has been waiting for a quarterfinal, that something has been held back. You can see what everyone thinks of that. How much do you think has been held back, or has anything?
Well, I know what you mean. At the top of our peak of our powers, when we beat New Zealand, we were just playing this game that no other team could live with. But I believe that other teams now understand the game that we are playing and have come with a defence to deal with that. I think we're being very tough on this Irish team to suggest that they're now no longer doing what they were doing. They have had to lift it, and they need to lift it. And this match will be that. I would say Joe has got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, because I haven't seen Ireland play as basically as they have been doing. In terms of some of the moves and the patterns they've been doing, they've just been very straightforward. I would imagine we'll see a lot more going on, and something maybe that we haven't seen. But that's a huge demand on the players to perform it at the very peak of performance against the best team in the world. I think it's a huge challenge. I don't know if it's too much to ask. But this Irish team, saying that, has got the physicality to deal with New Zealand. They've shown that time and time again against all opposition. For me, it's just about getting their accuracy. As Brian alluded to, the line-outs. It's like catching their kick-offs. It's, making sure they don't give away penalties, making sure they don't give away red cards. But also then, on top of that, then in attack, they have to have that accuracy. Not just be content to wait for a moment. They've got to actually push it, play with a certain amount of ambition, which we saw against Samoa. And I said, we had all the ball against Samoa. Mm. Samoa couldn't hold on to it. But at least they've shown that they want to play with that ambition, and they want to actually go out and win the match rather than just waiting for it to happen.
Keith, it does seem to go against everything we thought about Joe Schmidt, who's so methodical in his preparation, that if teams over the past year have figured out Ireland, that almost he wouldn't have preempted that and had a plan B or a secondary game plan or something to go to respond and to push Ireland to another level. Do you think that might be coming this weekend?
I think it's very hard for it to come this weekend. I do hope it does. I think that from the very start of 2019, we've been bullied a little bit, which, you know, we were the bullies last year. We were doing very well at all time. We seemed to be in control of our own destiny. But from the very first match we played this year against England, we got just knocked back and almost shocked back. And two or three of the other matches that we've had since, we only lost a few matches this year, but we lost none last year. But each one of them has been physically taking a toll. But I felt at different times, confidence-wise, we seemed to suffer quite heavily. And we've been up and down in the warm-up games. I feel we made a couple of mistakes. I still think that the game against England is our first warm-up game was in the wrong order. We weren't ready for that game, and I think that has detracted from us a little bit. I think our confidence dropped. I thought we played really well against Scotland. I thought we were in control of ourselves against Scotland. Against Japan, we took our foot off the gas. We didn't seem to, whether it was attitude or whatever it was, we didn't get over the gain line with the ball in hand. Our rucks were slow. We've watched Japan play in the last week, and their way of playing at such pace with such quick rucks puts you under huge pressure. You can't get back into a defensive line, and yet we didn't close down that space at all. So if we actually hold off, we're in trouble. And I don't know that we have to do entirely a huge amount of things well. We need to play the game that we are able to play, but we need to play it to the best of our ability. So whether we change a lot, I don't know. But attitude for me seemed to be off a couple of times this year.
Michael, Australia haven't exactly torn up too many trees during this World Cup, yet still they put 47 points past the All Blacks over the course of the summer. How did they do that? What was the key in that game? Did it feel like a warm-up almost?
Yeah, that was in Perth about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I guess. Mm. And it was a bit of a surprise to me as well. Australia haven't been going so well over the last few years, but out they came. And this is where Ireland, against New Zealand, you've got to believe in yourself. And why not take it to them and give them a go? And Australia got in front. They dominated the possession, territory, etc. And, they didn't make too many errors. And what the All Blacks have done this year, I think, is, you see team that even in South Africa, the South African game, first game of the World Cup, South Africa had the best sort of part of 25 minutes of that game. They had all the possession and territory, yet you look up at the scoreboard, a couple of mistakes from South Africa and New Zealand in front. The same thing happened to us at Eden Park. Two mistakes in the first half, 14-0. And in Perth, it was almost the reverse. Yes, they had a red card. Barrett got sent off, and that certainly helped. But up until that point, Australia had got the momentum going. And if you can get the All Blacks to the point where things are going against them, very hard to do. But once you get them to that point, they're not used to it. They're not used to normally having things all go their way. But once you get to that point where the momentum's against them, that they don't know how to handle it because they're not used to it. And Ireland could come out and do that on the weekend and really give them a trot and really give them a go. It's getting into that position to start with and belief. You've got to have belief that you can do it. And this Irish team, I think it was mentioned earlier, there's quite a few of these guys that have beaten the All Blacks over the last year or so. And that's a big thing of it. You've got to believe you can do it. Otherwise, the All Blacks have already won.
It seems like a long time ago now, that opening weekend and that first 20, 25 minutes from South Africa where it thought they were going to blitz everybody in the competition. Like the intensity and the pressure they put New Zealand under, if they didn't score. And the All Blacks withheld it and, as you say, maybe a couple of mistakes or just some brilliant play or some know-how. The very fact that they showed that, Bobby, in terms of where they are, being able to withhold that power play from South Africa, where does that show you as to where New Zealand are right now?
I mean, you're right, it does seem so far away, but I also think people forget that in sport, you learn to win and you also learn to lose. I mean, I think this Irish team last year leading up to the All Blacks game, the whole world understood that they had enough to beat the All Blacks. They were doing it week in and week out. They could go on a training run and get 100%, you know, and they didn't look like that in the warm-up games. And you know, you said, is Joe Smith holding stuff back? And I felt that in the lead-up to even that All Black game, I mean, we didn't see the short side exploitation until that game that we saw. It led to two tries. Sure, kick ahead and a bounce of the ball, but they did some really, really good stuff. I thought that against England, it looked like an Irish team that held quite a lot back. So I thought, okay, we're definitely going to see it in the World Cup. And then against Japan, back to the sort of metaphorical learn how to win, learn how to lose, Japan have been teaching themselves to do what Ireland did a year ago, to snuff out opportunities for the people they're playing against and to create opportunities for themselves. And Ireland came up against almost their equal in speed of play, definitely speed of ruck to ruck and attacking opportunities, and definitely low tackling, stopping all the driving. So I think New Zealand are the force they've always been, but I think the people who beat New Zealand in this World Cup are the people who undo them by, you know, not doing what South Africa did. South Africa had a tremendous 20 minutes and then allowed two mistakes, as did Australia, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before. If you don't do that, you can still beat them. You know, I mean, you break New Zealand down by never, ever giving one single inch. You know, I've been greatly privileged to play against them a number of times, and they are the hardest team to ever give, even just contesting a ball on the ground when the referee's already blown the whistle and it's not a competition anymore, it's just a little push, you get back on your side and we're in charge of this situation. I think New Zealand can be broken down, but you've got to do that for 87 minutes, as we've proved, and you're going to have to do it in the biggest stage in the world, and I think this World Cup has shown it. So I think if I'm looking at where Ireland are right now, this Irish team, these players, you know, they taught themselves to be winners only. Look at James Ryan, I think it was the background. He hadn't lost a game at that sort of level until this year. Now he's suddenly going, hang on, am I fallible? Have I? You know, so we've got to drive that out of them this week, get the players who've won against the All Blacks to recalibrate the players and say we can actually do this, and then just make zero mistakes on that game line.
And we're looking at probably 12 of the 15 who started the win last year starting this Saturday. Aki obviously is suspended, Devon Toner didn't travel, and neither did Kier Marmion. But you probably have Robbie Henshaw, Conor Murray and Ian Henderson coming in. So arguably even a stronger Ireland side on paper. Maybe not the form, maybe not the confidence that's there. Like, we don't look at the All Blacks the same way we did 5 years ago, because beating them two of the last three times.
No, we don't. And I think, I remember, I played against them a lot of times, and I remember different coaches coming through and having different words about it. But I remember Declan Kidney saying, we will beat the All Blacks, it's just a matter of when. And true to word, look at Joe Schmidt's record against the All Blacks. All the games have been super tight. He's managed to win a couple of them. And he's changed the perception of this Irish team. I'm not saying of every Irish team, but of this Irish team in their minds. And I think that is half the battle. My concerns would be where Ireland have always been susceptible is to teams like Wales, like Japan played in the group stage, and to the All Blacks, really good passing teams that are capable, Australia, capable of getting to the width, with two or three passes and really crisp, concise passing, because we've always, we get narrow and we're vulnerable in the wider channels. And I think if you allow the All Blacks to get into their groove, it could be a long day at the office. I don't think there's going to be anything magically new. We might see a power play of some sort, one that similar to the Jacob Stockdale try against them. We're going to see something that hopefully will try and break them open that maybe they haven't seen before.
What sort of game do you want? Do you want a repeat of 12 months ago where it's incredibly tight and there is that one moment of magic, or do you want the insane game that was Chicago?
I think that's the game we want. If it gets loose and open, I think there's only one winner. I think we've got to play it tight and play a percentage game and, not be afraid to be boring and win the aerial battle and, just, you know, play that detail and keep, you know, keep that scoreboard kicking over. We'll have to, Johnny Sexton will have to have a great day from the kicking tee as well. So you do need all the stars to align when you're to beat them. But I kind of feel that we do, the game that we're going to bring is not going to be any different than the one we've seen over the last couple of years. There's going to be no new magic sauce. It's just going to be done much better. And then we've got a chance. But if it's not done much better, if it's of the standard, even the standard against Scotland, because they were poor opposition, I think we'll get taken apart. We have to ratchet it up, I'd say, 20 or 30% if we're to survive with the All Blacks. And only then do we give ourselves a shot. Then we need, you know, them to have a little bit of an off day. And that's the reality of the gulf between the teams. And the last few years have clouded our judgment a little bit as to where we are. Yes, we're a good team, but it's interesting hearing the perspectives of people that haven't lived through this. I bet you, if you're brutally honest, that if you look at that Ireland team, you don't give them that much of a chance on the basis of what we've seen in this World Cup so far.
On the basis of this World Cup, no.
But you think that they can elevate it now in a one-off game? But do you think, on the basis of the last 3 or 4 weeks, do you think that this Ireland team, against what we've seen against New Zealand, can elevate their performance? Can you make that leap from the substandard performances to enough to be able to beat the mighty All Blacks?
Why not? Why not?
Why?
So, on the evidence of this World Cup, no. But there's players in that team, in the Irish team, that actually have done it and done it over a long period of time. So, that's what, experience is a big thing. So they know what to do. They know what they have to do. So why not do it this weekend against New Zealand? I do believe that they're capable of doing something.
And I would say that if they don't believe they can do it, they're 100% guaranteed of not doing it.
That's
so
right.
We might as well start with that, because if they're going to play a game that's foreign to them, and you know that Ireland are going to go wide and start trying to score a million tries, and you've got Barrett, Severis, whoever it is going wild, and New Zealand are going, oh, this is super rugby. Yeah, that's nice. Right. Thanks, guys. And they're gonna do 80 minutes of that, then there's trouble. I think you're 100% right. Squeeze them out, smash them up front, let them work really hard for every inch. And you get that at halfway, and you got parity, and you know who starts to doubt? Them. And you know who starts to believe? Us. And that's what everybody in that environment needs to believe and understand as well.
And see, also New Zealand, they haven't done too much since the start of this World Cup. I mean, they haven't played for a while. They've not been put under a huge amount of pressure, even in the South African game, apart from the first 20 minutes or so. So they'll be a little bit nervous about what Ireland are going to bring towards them, a bit the same as England with Australia. England haven't played for a while as well and haven't been put under a huge amount of pressure. So there's a nervousness around that, like, how are we going to come out and perform? And if Ireland can sort of capitalise on that a little bit to start with, there's a real chance there.
Keith,
yeah, need intent to
have keep building it up.
You've got us back. We're feeling good about life again.
No, I think New Zealand tend to have one flaky moment. You know, it's such a huge thing for them. You know,
every decade.
Yeah.
That was against Australia there when they lost 47-0.
Yes, but in the World Cup they tend to. And the point for us, and Bobby talked about belief, and even if I go back a long time, which is a long time, when we were losing those matches, Drico, you know, you suddenly had a few players who thought that we could win, and we didn't win. Then it started to change, and it has changed. There's almost an institutional memory now in the last few years of winning, of knowing actually that on our day we can do it. So if there is the chance of a slight off day for the All Blacks, the Irish team has to be primed to remind them of that fact that they can beat them, but to remind them every single minute of the 80. And it is that relentless one. So that idea of it being 47-45, that's not going to happen, I don't think. We have to stop everything.
Don't forget the fact you've got tremendous travelling support from the Irish fans, and every living soul in Japan hopes you win the game. Because it makes them champions of the world. So just use that stadium of support. You know, hopefully not too many Kiwis have travelled to support, but you could have 50,000 people shouting for Ireland, which is outstanding.
It is getting pretty late, and Brian O'Driscoll has an early flight, I think, to Japan. So I want to get some predictions.
And we still have our quiz to come as well, which is going to be a very special crappy quiz. Who's going to win the World Cup? How far are Ireland going to go, Keith?
Oh, God. Who's going
to win? Yeah, thanks.
Two words.
Thanks a million. I'd like to have said at the very start, I thought it was going to be New Zealand or maybe even England. But I want to take the view that for this particular one, there's a lot of us here have captained our countries. Sorry, Mel.
Wow.
I'm captain of my club.
No, no. You're a very good lieutenant, Mel.
Yeah. I was a doer, not a sayer.
But the... why now? But I think, you know, you have to get yourself into the idea that on this week, with this view, we have to believe that Ireland go well. You just have to take that belief. You can't have any negative thoughts going into it at all. And it's different inside in the squad, but even outside the squad, this is what we've been waiting for 4 years from the last time when we were injury robbed us from having our best field, our team on the field. We have pretty much a full squad now. I want to go and believe and hope for good things.
You're a dreamer, Keith.
I'm dreaming.
Lieutenant Mal.
He's dreaming. it's a tough one. I fancy England, but... you know, I think Wales, and even you wouldn't want to write off Wales to beat England. So, like, there's so much. It's such an exciting weekend ahead.
Get off the fence, Mal.
You know, I have some optimism for us against this New Zealand side, but whether or not I think we might come up a little bit short against New Zealand, and I think they'll probably go and win the whole tournament. Sorry.
Just play to the crowd. It's the easier option.
Obviously, yeah. Ireland to win the World Cup.
What are you thinking, Bobby?
Slightly controversially. I mean, I think France have shown absolutely nothing so far. I mean, have you even ever captained France unless you've led a player revolt at a World Cup? So, Guillaume Girardot and his men. I think they're going to stage a bit of an upset.
Oh, yeah?
Over the weekend. I think that's exciting.
Think
it's going to have no bearing on who wins the World Cup, but it's going to be an amazing quarterfinal. And I genuinely believe one of New Zealand or South Africa are going to come out tops. And obviously, that's probably South Africa because Ireland have to beat New Zealand based on earlier evidence. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Michael, what first thing do you think of Australia this weekend against England?
Sorry?
What chance do you give Australia this weekend?
What chance? Oh, they're in the game, so. But on the basis, I do think England are a good team, but they've done nothing so far. They've not been tested. Argentina with 14 men, and then now got 2 weeks off of having Eddie Jones training sessions. I'd rather be playing, I would think. But Australia haven't been playing all that well. Interestingly enough, with Australia, our forward pack's okay. Mm. We've got a decent forward pack. We know who they are. It's the backs where there's a bit of trouble. You know, we've had trouble at 10. We've played 3 so far, and I got a call the other day for them to ask me to come back. That's how desperate they are. But I just think England will be worried the same reason why New Zealand will be a little bit, because they don't know what's going to come out. You know, how are we going to play after this period of time where we haven't played much against an Australian team that is dangerous? We're capable of performance. Having said all that, I think England will win and then probably go on to play, dare I say it, New Zealand in the semi. And I think the winner of the World Cup will come out of that game.
All right. And Brian?
I think the winner of the World Cup is going to come from this side of the draw, from the Ireland, England, Australia, New Zealand side. I don't know. I have a bit of a feeling about the weekend from an Irish perspective, a positive feeling. I just think that team believes. I know the players really genuinely believe. And if they can get the emotional side of their performance right, obviously the physical side will follow suit. And I really think it'll be a super close game. So I'm going to go with an Irish win this weekend.
There's a man who plays...
There's a caveat to this.
What?
I think they may become unstuck in a semi-final to England the following week.
Oof. Which is worse, losing a quarter-final to New Zealand or a semi-final to England?
I think England haven't shown... I think they're in third and a half gear, right. Fourth gear, and I think they can ratchet another couple. And I think we'll see it this weekend. We'll see Eoin Farrell finally performing in the Rugby World Cup. And I think they've got ahead of steam. They'll get ahead of steam, and I think they'll be too powerful for us in the semi-final, and they'll be the eventual winners.
I'll tell you what, I'll do your deal. We'll beat England and meet you in the semi.
We can all work with that, I think. All right. Everybody stay seated for just a moment, just to let you know that the next Off the Ball Heineken Roadshow is right around the corner. We can announce exclusively tonight that next Wednesday, that is October 23rd, we're going to be live in Cork. Looking ahead to Ireland in the World Cup semi-final. We got a very special show in Crane Lane. We have British and Irish line David Wallace. Fiona Steed is going to be with us. And Cork's very own former Ireland international David Myler will be there on the night for added Corkness. More special guests to be announced over the next few days. Tickets extremely limited, so get them now on offtheball.com/events. It is the next Off the Ball Heineken Roadshow. All that remains for me to say is to thank Heineken for helping make tonight happen. Everyone here at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre has done a brilliant job in getting us to stage. Our wonderful guests, Michael Leiter, Keith Wood, Bobby Skinstead, Brian O'Driscoll, Danny O'Reilly has done a runner in case we made him sing that song again at the end. Paul Howard is out there somewhere as well. Thank you to everyone else. Malcolm O'Kelly, my beautiful co-host Brian and Keith. Brilliant job as always. And our wonderful audience. Thank you all. Safe home. Come on, Ireland, on Saturday.
Well done, Bob.
Good night.
Well done, man. Thank you.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.